I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Hey, Michelle Grosser here, and you are listening to the Calm Mom Podcast. Today in this episode, we're going to talk about perfectionism, and we're going to talk about how perfectionism is tied to anxiety. But before we jump in, I just wanted to ask, if you have not left the show a 5-star rating yet or a short review, if you could do so today, I would be so grateful. If you have enjoyed the show, if you have learned anything, if you have, you know, episodes that you've listened to, maybe even over and over and over again because they've resonated so much and you've learned things that have really helped your mental health and your emotional health and your physical health and your spiritual health, man, the best way you could thank me is truly by just leaving the show a 5-star rating and a short review. It takes just a few seconds, but it's really the best way that we can get this show in front of other women. My goal is to share this mind-body work, this nervous system work with as many moms as possible. So leaving the show a 5-star rating and a short review helps to get this really helpful, truly life-changing tools and information in front of other women so they can benefit and experience the same things that we have when we've learned this stuff. So if you could do that today, even just pause the show and go do it really quick, I would be so grateful. I love you guys so much. You truly are the best. Okay, back to perfectionism. Whenever I do episodes about either perfectionism or high-functioning anxiety, I find that those are some of the most downloaded episodes. Like over and over, when I touch on those two subjects, you guys download them because I think so many of you, I mean, obviously identify with this, right? That's why you download it. And it makes sense because so many of us who identify as high achievers, people who just get stuff done, right? All my type A friends out there, we identify as having perfectionistic traits. And if we take the time to think about it, we've probably had those tendencies for quite a long time, right? Maybe even as long as we can remember. Maybe even when we were kids, we've always liked things to be orderly, right? We kept our room clean, we made our bed. Maybe we've always been rule followers. We were the honor students. We, you know, ended up going to a good school, a good college. We've always just kind of been highly driven, right? Especially for how well we do things. We've been noticed for that and applauded for that. And what happens is that it kind of becomes a self-perpetuating cycle, right? We do things well, we get recognition and acknowledgement and, you know, the proverbial applause, and then we want to do things well again, right? And that cycle kind of keeps going. And guys, there are so many possible routes to perfectionism. Oftentimes, it can result from our childhood environment. And when I tend to see that, it tends to be one of extremes. Like, I've seen clients who struggle with perfectionism who grew up in really chaotic environments, whatever that chaos might have looked like. So then they swing to the other extreme, right? And having things that look perfect and feel perfect feels a lot safer than the chaos that they grew up in. Or maybe on the other end of that spectrum, you grew up in a home that was always like super clean, right? It was kind of like Pinterest worthy. You could eat off the floor. Maybe your own mother or your own caregiver would freak out with like the littlest mess or whatever it was. So you became really uncomfortable with anything that wasn't perfect, right? Anything that felt messy. And guys, parts of life can be really messy sometimes. So now, as an adult, especially as a parent, you carry that conditioning because perfection feels safe, right? That was conditioned for you. That was patterned for you. It became ingrained in you. And I think there's so many other routes to perfectionism too, but it really is a common thread that I see among my clients who notice these perfectionistic tendencies is that they also struggle with anxiety. Because here's the thing. I think that perfectionism is actually just like a really sneaky form of anxiety, right? I think they're actually one and the same. And maybe that's you. Like, maybe you struggle with anxiety. Maybe you're a little high strung, right? Maybe your partner or your husband or your friends or just people in your life have always been telling you to just like chill out, right? It's not a big deal. Stop worrying about it. Maybe you tend to overthink things, right? Are you like a perpetual planner? Maybe it's really hard for you to relax, especially if the house isn't like perfectly clean and everything's done, right? You're always busy 24/7. And maybe you're even the kind of woman that people from the outside at least look at and think like, man, how does she do it all, right? How does she get it all done? How does everything look so good? But we all know that the truth is that no one does it all, right? There's a cost to everything and there's a cost to perfectionism. And one of those costs is anxiety because our nervous system, like anything that's not perfect then, feels really unsafe. And holy moly, if there's a T that's not crossed or an I that's not dotted, like we feel like the wheels are just going to fly off this whole thing. And, you know, everyone's going to realize like I'm not as good as they think I am. I'm going to lose this client, my neighbors, my family, everyone's going to judge me, or like whatever the story is that you tend to be subconsciously telling yourself that drives you to that level of seeking perfection. So I thought it might be helpful today to just dive into this connection between perfectionism and anxiety a little further for you guys. And I want to look today at three reasons why perfectionists in particular tend to have high anxiety. So let's jump in. The first one is because when we have perfectionistic tendencies, we tend to have really high standards for ourselves, right? Really unrealistic, if we're honest, standards for ourselves. And let's just start with the obvious, right? This is something that we all know in our heads, but it can be a little harder for our subconscious patterning that tends to struggle with perfectionism. It's like we all know that perfection is not attainable, especially in everything, right? It's just not on the grand scheme of life, not in parenthood, not in marriage, not in our careers, right? Life's too much of a journey. Our humanity is too, I don't know, jacked up to attain perfection. It's not really how we're designed to function. So when we have these urges or these impulses for things to feel or be or look perfect all the time, and we know cognitively, intellectually that that isn't possible, we also know we're setting ourselves up for a ton of anxiety because we inevitably, what? We inevitably fall short. We inevitably don't reach our goal or our standard or whatever it is because those standards are so stinking high. And when we set these standards for ourselves, or I think maybe even more anxiety inducing, when we set really high standards for others, our kids and our partners included, and then they don't measure up or things just don't end up how we wanted them to be, we get super triggered and all this self-doubt might come up. And then maybe our self-talk starts to get super critical and judgmental. And that's really tough, you guys. I'm actually recording this episode right around Easter. And man, I know for women who have these really high, maybe unrealistic standards, that oftentimes the holidays in particular can be super triggering and can be super stressful because, you know, we plan all these things, all these events, we want to give our family the best experience and the memories, and we go crazy planning all the Easter egg hunts and the basket and the matching outfits and the photos and like all the house decor, whatever else, right? Insert what you do for birthdays or other holidays. But then real life happens, right? And kids get sick or they have moods or they have temper tantrums or it rains or whatever it is. And those unrealistic expectations aren't met and we're so disappointed, right? And when that happens, it can be really easy for us to fall into this loop of like, I'm not good enough, I failed, I'm not giving my kids enough, whatever it is. And that can really trigger stress and thus anxiety. So that's the first connection, is having these really high, unrealistic expectations for ourselves and for others. And then the second reason I think that perfectionists have or tend to have high anxiety is self-criticism. And this kind of ties back to the first one, right? If you have unrealistically high expectations that cannot be met, especially all the time, then inevitably a lot of your life is going to feel like you're not measuring up, right? It's going to feel like you're failing when that's actually not the truth. It's actually probably pretty far from the truth. And because it often feels like we're not measuring up or we're not doing well enough or whatever it is, we might notice that our self-talk starts to sound pretty critical. And the other thing I notice with clients who struggle with perfectionism in particular, especially as it relates to being critical of themselves, is that they'll often find that they have this kind of subconscious belief that if they're not so hard on themselves, right, if they weren't so critical of themselves, if they didn't expect so much of themselves, then they're not going to get as much done, right? They're not going to be as productive. Like if I don't expect as much from myself, if I'm not as hard on myself, then I'm not going to be as good as I am at my job, right? Or I'm not going to be as good of a wife or a mom as I am. So it's kind of this false belief and the self-criticism is necessary for them to achieve that goal or build the life that they're seeking or whatever it is. And I think for any of you who are kind of like nodding along to this and can really relate to this feeling of like being really hard on yourself, I think our instinct, or maybe even what we've been taught, what we've seen, I don't know, on Instagram or been told by a therapist, is that we need to learn how to quiet that critical voice, right? Like we need to learn how to shut up that inner voice, that inner critic. We need to learn how to make her go away. But in my experience, I have found over and over again that trying to ignore, trying to suppress, trying to shut up our inner critic actually does the opposite. It actually makes that voice louder. And it's this idea that what we resist persists. Here's the thing, you guys, your inner critic, that inner critic of yours, it's a part of you, right? She's a voice that was birthed and created at some point in your life when your nervous system and your subconscious mind found that doing things really, really well, dare I say near perfect, rewarded you. It rewarded you with love and with attention and security and affection and all these things that felt really good and really safe for your nervous system. So it makes sense, right? Your nervous system was like, okay, this is good. More of this, please. And maybe you were raised by caregivers who had really high expectations of you. So like naturally, any kid wants to please their parent, right? And that can be the start of a really loud inner critic. And however that voice started, you guys, however that voice originated, I promise you, it always served a good purpose. Like it always had a highest intention. And that was to keep you safe and to keep you loved by your people, right? So maybe your inner critic is a little harsh. Maybe she lacks a little grace, right? But I promise you, she's still trying to do that same thing today. She's just trying to keep you safe. She's just trying to keep you loved by your people. So instead of trying to shut her up, which in my experience will only make her louder and more persistent, my invitation to you is, man, try getting curious about why that critical voice comes up. You can journal about this. You can explore it like in journaling and dialogue. You can even just kind of close your eyes and sit in quiet for a few moments and have this inner dialogue. Like, see if you can access that critical voice and be like, man, why are you so critical? And then just wait and see what comes to you, right? See what pops into your consciousness. That inner dialogue with that part of you, like in my experience, when we just take the time to notice and acknowledge and get curious and honor our parts, like that critical part, we get some really interesting information that will come to us. And so oftentimes, you guys, that part of you that's super critical or whatever it is, it thinks it's still protecting some young child. Like, I'm sure if you asked, and I've seen this over and over and over again, especially in my one-on-one clients, when we do this type of work, when I'm like, when they're able to access that part of themselves, and I'm like, ask that part how old they think you are. And they'll be like, I don't know why, but like 8 is coming to me, right? Or 7 or 13. And it's always a part from their childhood that part thinks they're really young and is still trying to protect them. So the more that you can journal with that inner part, the more that you can have inner dialogue with that critical part of you and just let her know, like, hey, I'm not 8 anymore, right? I'm a 30-something or a 40-something or a 50-something-year-old woman. I am safe, right? I have a career. I have children. I am loved. What you're going to learn when you can have that inner exchange is that that really critical part of you, that really critical voice, is actually ready to shift, right? It's been working so hard to protect you and pushing you to like achieve so you can be safe and be loved. And you're going to find that when that part doesn't need to protect you in the same way, because you're not actually 8 years old, that part would actually prefer to have a different role. It would actually prefer to be a voice of encouragement instead of voice of criticism or whatever it is, if you invite it to. And this type of work, if this is piquing your curiosity, is called internal family systems. It's called parts work. It was created by Dr. Richard Schwartz. And it's one of the most powerful modalities that I use regularly with my one-on-one clients. It's so powerful. I've seen so many clients get revelation and really see their ways of being start to shift and change as they start to learn how to do work with their different parts. So if you struggle with perfectionism, which is also a very common part that we all have, and that perfectionism can also be paired with a part of you that's really hypercritical, or anything else that you're kind of curious about, other parts of you, maybe you have a really angry part, or you have a really, like a worry wart part, or you have, a really fearful part. Working together one-on-one with those different parts, you guys, is so freaking awesome. It's so powerful. So if you're curious about that, man, book a discovery call. There's a free, there's a link to a free 30-minute call with me in the show notes. Go ahead, choose a time. We can jump on a call. I want to hear what it is that you're experiencing. If there's anything I can share with you that might be helpful, I'll do that. And then what we can do is we can explore how doing one-on-one work together might be a good fit for you. So that's number 2. And then number 3 is that one of the reasons why perfectionists have high anxiety is that perfectionists tend to avoid taking risks. They tend to avoid taking risks, right? That's the last reason I want to talk about today. I think that perfectionism can cause anxiety because when we want things to be perfect, we avoid taking risks. And that makes sense, right? Risks are messy. Risks are like the antithesis of perfection, right? They're risky. We don't have control. We don't know the outcome. Perfect is the opposite of that. Perfect is in control. Perfect is clean. Perfect is orderly. So if we struggle with perfectionism, and this is, again, probably mostly unconscious, we tend to avoid risks like the plague. But here's the thing, you guys, calculated risks are healthy. I think they're even necessary oftentimes, right? It can be risky to have another child. It can be risky to, I don't know, quit your job, right? And go all in on something you're super passionate about. It can be risky to move to a new city. And these are all like really big life-changing things, but there's a lot of smaller things too. Like it can be risky to, I don't know, try to bake cookies with a two-year-old, right? It could be really risky to let your kids use, you know, bathtub paints or jump in puddles or all of these things. Like, and when we avoid all of these risks because we can't ensure that they'll be perfect or because it feels too messy, there's a part of us that just never feels fully alive. Because I think we're stuck in FOMO and we just know that something is missing. And there's just something within us that's waiting to be like released and unleashed. And because we're stuck in perfectionism and because we don't take these risks, we just keep all of that life kind of caged up because the risk feels too much. And ultimately, that's living in fear, right? Which is living in anxiety, living with all the looping thoughts of like, what could go wrong, right? And allowing all of that fear to really overpower all of the joy that's available to us when we're in a space where we can shift to a pattern of thinking like, man, what if everything goes right? Right? So instead, we live in this comfort zone and we know that not much grows in our comfort zone. So we just feel kind of blah. We feel kind of stuck. We feel kind of stagnant. Or it's just anxiety inducing because we have this huge like tug. We have this huge pull on our heart and we have that pull towards the risk, right? And because we can't, you know, find the perfect time or the perfect way, or we're just like stuck in that in between, we're stuck in that indecision. Guys, indecision is so stinking exhausting. I think we underestimate how exhausting that is. Once we just make a decision, regardless, I think, of what that decision actually is, like just making a decision, I've seen it over and over again, how much peace that actually brings. So living in that gray in between, living in the indecision because we don't want to make the wrong decision because we're stuck living in fear, right? That things are going to go wrong or we can't guarantee what's best. That causes a lot of anxiety. So it's tied to perfectionism because when we're stuck in perfectionism, we avoid risks. And then being stuck in that gray or not living full out causes anxiety because we know there's more, right? We know there's more. We know we're called to more. We know we're purposed for more. And not living up to that just feels kind of flat, right? It feels kind of blah. It feels kind of stuck. And that's a queasy feeling. That's not a great feeling. So the good news is that if you identify with any of this, if you identify with having perfectionistic tendencies and you know you tend to experience a lot of anxiety, just take a deep breath right now. Just take a deep breath because my friends, it's normal, right? If you struggle with perfectionism and you also struggle with anxiety, that's normal. That's to be expected. They go hand in hand. And now take another deep breath because it doesn't have to be this way. There are things you can learn about yourself that are just going to help you see yourself and understand yourself with such a deeper compassion, I believe, because there's a reason. There's always a reason for the things we do, why we do them, how we do them, right? And then second, there's just so much hope. Like there are things that you can do about this pattern of perfectionism. There are things you can do about the anxiety that you're experiencing. There are things that you can do about that sense of stagnancy that you're feeling and not being able to take the healthy risks and not being able to do all of these other things that you want to be able to do. The voice of self-criticism, right? These unrealistic standards. There are things you can do about all of that. You can rewire your brain. You can bring calm and safety to your body and to your nervous system with things like movement and sound and breath and touch, right? If you're listening to this podcast, that's already a great starting point. It's a great resource. And guys, if this episode has really hit for you, like if it's really landed and resonated, man, you have nothing to lose. Like go ahead and just book a free 30-minute call with me. There's a link in the show notes. It'll take you straight to my calendar. Choose a time that works for you. I ask you a couple questions just so I can get an idea of what it is that you're wanting to work through before we have our call. And then we'll just talk about it, right? Tell me what it is that you're feeling in a little bit of detail. I'll let you know how I can help. And then together we can explore whether Either one-on-one coaching or another one of my programs might be a good fit for you, but holy moly, you do not have to stay living like this. You do not have to try to figure it all out alone, right? There is community for you. There is help for you. There is support for you. There is direction for you. Sometimes just having a plan can just be so like, okay, I have a plan, right? Plans feel good. I'm going to go through these things. I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to put into practice and take action what Michelle is teaching me. And there is health and healing and calmness and healthy risk taking, right? And healthy messy all on the other side of that for me. And it is so awesome, you guys. All right, that's what I have got for you today. I love you all so much. Have a great rest of the day. I'll talk to you soon.
If you love Mommy's Podcast, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com. where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.